Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Frame of Mind Coaching, Journaling for Success. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Kim Addis, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Frame of Mind Coaching, Journaling for Success. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this podcast, Kim Addis, president of Frame of Mind Coaching, introduces us to the process of journaling, during which one's limiting thought patterns are identified and replaced with a new way of thinking that ignites significant personal and professional change. So now, without any further delay, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined again by Kim Addis, president of Frame of Mind Coaching and one of North America's foremost experts on performance through thought management. In our last discussion, Kim introduced us to her unique process of unveiling and switching thought patterns to ignite significant personal and professional change. In this show, we will focus more specifically on the process of journaling. Kim, welcome back to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Hello. I'm so glad to be back.
Well, we are excited to have you. You know, since your last episode was up a couple months ago, you have the highest ranking podcast show on Strategy Driven with over 2,100 downloads of the Frame of Mind Coaching episode.
How cool is that?
That is really cool. That is really cool. So I am really excited to have you back. But before we start, I was hoping that you might be able just to talk to us for a moment about your company, Frame of Mind Coaching, and what is unique about it.
Well, Frame of Mind Coaching is different from other kinds of coaching because what we do is we don't look necessarily at your life events as the centerpiece of what we do, or we don't look at your performance so much as the centerpiece of what we do, but what we do is we look at the way you think, and that is the most important factor in identifying or seeing how the results you get form from that experience. So we look at the way you think, and the way you think is responsible for the results you get in your life. So we don't just look at the results side of things. We look at how you get your results through your thinking.
Okay.
So if you were to look at the progress or the process of how this works, mm-hmm. the thoughts that you have over and over and over again create the beliefs that you have. The beliefs that you have formulate or drive the expectations you have, and the expectations you have lead to the results you get. So when you want to change the results in your life, what you have to do is begin by looking at the thoughts that you have.
Okay.
So what we do is through the process of journaling, we enable our clients, and with them we see their thoughts and we identify the thoughts that require adjustment.
Okay. And I was going to say that sounds like a great segue into my second question, and that was, why is journaling so important?
Well, actually, journaling is a phenomenal tool for helping people identify and see their thoughts outside of themselves. So Mm-hmm. By and large, most people believe, well, you know, the thoughts that I have are the thoughts that I have. And here's the way that it really works, is that there are lots of things in this world that we can't control. We can't control the weather. We can't control politics. Well, most of us can't anyways. We can't control the economy. We can't control other people's thinking or other people's beliefs or what other people say and do. The one thing that we can control is the way we think. So, unfortunately, because we have 60,000 thoughts a day, we're not always aware of every single thought, every single moment of every single day. Some of the thoughts that we have take up bigger space or take up more room or take up more energy for us because we think them repetitively. And a lot of those thoughts hold us back from achieving, you could say, greatness. And what the journaling process does is it allows us to see the thoughts that are taking up all that space in writing. And so now all of a sudden your thoughts are separate from you, and you're able to identify the thoughts that are there that serve you and the thoughts that don't. So the first part of this whole journaling process is the process of unloading. So what are we unloading? The major thoughts that are taking place in our minds, the things that are taking up space and energy and an emotional interest, you could say.
Okay.
So number one is we're unloading. The second part is once we've unloaded all that baggage and put it down in writing, now we could see our thoughts separate from ourselves. We can begin to start sorting through them and start deciding which of those thoughts are valuable and which thoughts help us achieve our goals and which thoughts actually slow us down. And in the writing, we can start to identify the beliefs that exist underneath those thoughts.
All right. Okay. And then that is really, it gets us down into the root of what's causing us to think the way we do,
right,
which translates into the performance that we're actually seeing.
Exactly. So everything that you see in your life right now is a function of your thinking. Everything. So exactly what you think you're going to get is exactly what you have, whether or not you see it or whether or not you see it. So the issue is this, is that every material thing in your life, every relationship, every result, everything that you see around you is a function of your thinking.
Okay.
So if you don't like what you see, you must start by changing your thinking, and the journaling process allows us to identify our thoughts and make deliberate choice about our thoughts. Okay? So here's how it works, is that when we start to think about things, or when we notice that we're thinking things that don't serve us, the writing process allows us to do what I call trading up. Say, okay, this thought isn't working for me. It's time for me to choose something a little bit better.
All right. Okay. Now, Kim, say I'm a person and I've written all my thoughts down. Is there a special technique or a special method that I need to use to analyze those thoughts, to weed through them, to uncover those thoughts that are really the ones that are holding me back?
Well, yeah, it's very interesting, because what we do is we use the technique of monitoring how you feel. Okay, so the way that you feel is really an indicator or a measuring stick of whether or not your thoughts are pointing in the right direction or pointing in the wrong direction. In other words, are they pointing towards the direction you want to be going or pointing away from that direction? When you notice as you are writing that what you are writing about is causing you pain or discomfort or frustration or anger or disappointment or any of the negative emotions, it is an indicator that those thoughts associated with that idea or, you know, with that theme that you are focused on is pointed away from what you really want. So the technique is to start to become very, very aware of the way you feel. When you feel any negative emotion, it is telling you that your thoughts are pointing away from the things that you really, really want. And that's the technique that you start to hone in on as we go through our coaching.
Okay. So as I'm listening, it sounds to me that it's also, besides writing down my thoughts, it's very important that I'm writing down how those thoughts are making me feel.
Well, it's not that you write down how the thoughts are making you feel, mm-hmm. but as you're writing down your thoughts, you begin to notice how you're feeling.
Okay.
Right? So you might write down, you know, I got into a fight with my brother today. He really, really upset me. In fact, I felt like punching him in the nose. And as you're writing and you're seeing the things that are upsetting you, you realize, well, those thoughts aren't consistent with my desire to be and have a great relationship with my brother.
Okay.
Right? And so they're pointing you away from that desire.
Okay.
And you notice that you're being pointed in a different direction because of the way you feel.
Okay. And so now that I've seen some things like not having the relationship I want with my brother, you mentioned trading up.
Right.
How do I develop then what I want to trade up with? So I want to get rid of the negative. How do I identify the positive I want to put in their place?
Okay, well, there's a bunch of things associated with trading up. A lot of people or a lot of coaches say, well, what I want you to do is look in the mirror and say affirmations. I'm not a big believer in affirmations because a lot of the affirmations that we ask people to say are stretches, right? We ask them to go way, way beyond their realm of reality. And reality is another interesting topic we'll talk about. But they, you know, stand in front of the mirror and pick something that's far, far out there that is hard for us to grasp. For example, you know, for a person who wants to lose weight, they look in the mirror and they say, I'm thin, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I am fit. I'm thin, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm fit. And in the back of our mind, we're going, you know, that's just hard to buy. What I see is not that. And so what I want people to do is not take that big leap.
Okay.
What I want people to do is think a thought that is slightly better than where they are, only slightly better. So
A
slightly better thought might be losing 5 pounds is doable.
All right.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Right? Not a big leap, not a big stretch. And that is trading up. It's trading up for a slightly better thought, not a hugely better thought. Why? Because I can buy that thought. I can hold on to that thought. I can believe that thought. And in the back of my head, I am not saying, who am I kidding?
All right. Okay.
Okay. And that's important when we look at trading up.
Okay. So it's got to be believable to you.
It's got to be believable.
Okay. Okay.
You've got to go from one believable thought to the next believable thought. And when you get to a place where it's not believable, you either have to pick up a thought that's believable or you have to challenge your beliefs and say, why isn't this believable? What are the reasons that it's not believable? And when you start to identify the reasons through your journaling that it's not believable, you can choose whether or not you want to stay with the thought that it's not believable or you want to challenge it and turn it into something that you can believe.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
So I'll give you an example.
Sure.
Okay?
Hey, yeah.
So I might ask you, do you believe that you can be a massively successful public speaker? And there's a part of you that might say, yeah, I believe it. But inside you might say, well, I'm not sure I have what it takes. And so that doubt causes a little bit of disbelief.
Okay.
Right? And so any time you have disbelief or doubt, it slows down your effectiveness. It slows down your progress. It slows down your results.
Okay. Now,
right?
Kim, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we would go through the process of challenging that doubt.
Okay.
So that when you think about it, you say, yes, why not? Why can't I be a tremendous public speaker? I do have what it takes.
Okay. Now, that the thought you're trading up for, should it be actionable? Does it have to have something like I'm going to be a better public speaker, and do I have to kind of incorporate with that then an action, like I'm going to go practice public speaking?
No. In fact, what's very interesting is we often believe that the first thing that we need to do is do something. So let's say you're interested in losing weight. Typically, people are interested in losing weight. They say, well, I got to do something about this. I'm not happy with the way things are. I have to go do something about it. And they might go join a gym. And they might go to the gym for the first week, the second week, the third week, the fourth week, the fifth week. Then the sixth week, it starts to slow down a little.
Okay.
And then the seventh week, maybe a little more, right?
Yeah.
And then by the eighth or ninth week, forget the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because beginning with action doesn't address the fundamental issue. We always must begin with our thoughts, and action follows, because then when we begin with our thoughts, our actions come from an inspired place. So, for example, I might join a gym, and every day I might go to the gym, and I might feel like, oh, my God, this is torture. I hate it. You know, it's too early in the morning. It's too cold. I'm in pain. It's miserable. I hate this. I hate sweating, you know, but I'm still going because, my thought is this is the only way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? But as long as I have all of those things going on, I'm working against myself to hold on to the process.
Okay.
Okay, so we must begin with our thinking.
All right.
Before we begin with the doing.
Okay.
So action is always secondary.
All right. Okay. You mentioned an inspired place, and I know in our last conversation, one of the things we talked about in journaling was designing one's ideal world.
Right.
Why is that important to write down?
Well, it is for a few reasons. Very often when I work with clients, I ask them this question. The question is, what is it that you really, really want?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people have absolutely no idea. And here's the thing, that if you don't know what you really, really want, it's going to be very, very hard to get. And so this concept of designing the ideal life is about you focusing on the things that you want. And whatever you focus on grows. Whatever you focus on magnifies. And as long as you are focusing on the things that you want and defining it and having a vision of it and a picture of it, there's a greater likelihood that it's going to materialize in your life. So what we want you to do is focus on the way you want things to be rather than on the way things are if they're not exactly the way you want them to be.
Okay. Okay. And it sounds like that is a very natural fit then with trading up, because the ideal world would be something you're taking a step toward in your trading up of thoughts.
Correct. Now, let's go back to trading up for one brief second.
Okay.
Let's say something goes very, very bad in your world, okay? Very bad. Something terrible happens, and you're not in a good place, right? And that terrible thing is churning in your mind over and over and over again. Trading up doesn't always mean dealing with that issue exactly in that moment and making that issue better. It can also mean just turning your attention to something that feels better. And in that moment, you're trading up your thoughts to a better feeling place. So, I don't know, let's say you have a terrible car accident.
Okay.
Okay, a trade up might then you're in bed and you're in a bad, situation. A trading up in that moment might be, an ice cream cone might make me feel a little bit better in this moment. Perfect.
All right.
You understand?
Okay.
There might not seem to be a relationship, but you're reaching for something that might feel a little better. And that's what we want you to do, is continuously reach for something, a thought, that feels a little better.
Yeah, it feels like it's something, we're reaching for something that is going to break that negative perspective that we have to help
us. You got it.
Okay. All right. Now, you talked about the gym example, and I'm living proof of that example.
Right.
Because I need to go to the gym more. I can see people having the same kind of occurrence with journaling. How do you help people overcome that, where they start out and they do really well with journaling for the first few weeks and then they start drifting away from it? Is there guidance that you give them to help them to stay with?
Well, there's a few things that we do, absolutely. So on our program that we use for journaling, it's called FOM 52, FOM for frame of mind. So FOM 52.
Okay.
We give them assignments that they work on every week. In other words, we give you a focus to work on a weekly basis. So that's number one. And when you have a focus, it becomes easier to stick to the plan. But over and above that, what happens is when you journal, there's multitude of things that take place. Number one, there's great relief. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great relief in the process of writing because you're laying down your load. The second thing is there's great discovery, self-discovery. And that self-discovery is very interesting. There's nothing more interesting to discover than things about yourself. And it becomes a pull, you could say. So that journaling isn't a difficult path, but it's quite an interesting journey. The third part about it is that journaling, particularly guided journaling, where you're given those specific focuses and assignments, create a state, and that state is a state of gratitude.
All right.
Right? And you know how a lot of people tell you, you know, the best thing to do to lift up your spirits is to meditate, and a lot of us go, well, that's, you know, that's just not for me. It's a little bit too, you know, out there.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Journaling is like, it's similar. It creates a similar state. It's a form of meditation.
Okay.
Right? And that becomes very, very, almost addictive, you could say, because it feels so wonderful.
Okay.
Okay, journaling feels good. And so for me, I've been journaling my whole life, and it's not a chore for me. It's like oxygen. It helps me recalibrate. So anytime I'm a little bit off center, I'm human, it happens, I reach for my journal, and I clear things up, and I'm back into a peaceful state. And that thing becomes, that activity becomes soothing.
Okay. Sure.
Right? So it's not so difficult to do.
Okay. Yeah. And, well, is there a particular kind of an environment or a setting that you should journal in that will help even further boost that state of gratitude or that settling feeling that you'll get?
You know, for me, I tend to journal, you know, kind of at different times of the day. Sometimes I journal at night before going to bed. Sometimes I journal in the morning before my day begins. Sometimes I'll take it to, you know, I have two kinds of journals. I have my online journal that I use, but I also carry a book around with me. Mm-hmm. I might be, you know, grabbing a coffee somewhere, sitting by myself, and I might pull out my journal. And so the best place to journal is when you have something that you really want to put down. And sometimes, I mean, for me, I travel quite a bit, so I journal on airplanes. And I have to tell you, it's one of the best places because the time that I'm given where I can't do anything else but journal is a long period of time. So what I end up exploring things to a much greater depth, which is always, you know, a great gift for me.
Okay.
So any place that you want to be, go ahead and journal. And a lot of people are used to typing, so online is also a very good place.
Okay. All right. Now, and I know because I visited your website that you offer online some different journaling opportunities, and I believe one of them is an opportunity for people to give you feedback.
Well, right. And how it works is this, is that you journal as a person, you journal, and you mm-hmm. work with a coach.
Okay.
And the coach reads your journal and provides you feedback on your journal. In other words, they see what you write, and then they ask probing questions to bring you along the journey of the 52 weeks of self-guided journaling.
Okay.
So, and it helps to uncover those thoughts and beliefs that are standing in your way. It helps to point you in the direction of where you want to be going rather than have you at any point staying in one place or mulling over or churning the bad stuff that you don't want to be focusing on.
Okay, sure. And so this is really like having a coach. And you know, I think of all of the you know, the great sports figures, and Tiger Woods comes to mind, and he always has a coach,
right?
Because he performs better with a coach, and it feels like guided journaling is much the same thing.
It's very much the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. You know what else Tiger Woods does? Whenever he swings, or right before he swings, if you pay close attention, he closes his eyes for a minute. Before he
okay.
takes the swing. And what is he doing? He's literally envisioning the ball.
Yes.
Going right into the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's using that process of visualization to see it as a successful experience. And journaling okay. allows us to develop the muscle to envision things working out for us.
Okay.
That's where we practice that skill.
Sure, sure. He's establishing that frame of mind, and he's putting himself in a state where he expects to be successful, and then he goes out and his action then emulates that frame of mind that he's in.
Exactly. He sees it, and what we need to do is practice seeing it working out instead of seeing it as it is, which isn't always the way we want it to be.
Okay.
And journaling allows us to see it better, more easily.
Okay, okay. Kim, there was another question I wanted to ask, and that was, getting down to the tangible results that people can expect to get from journaling. I was wondering if you could give us some examples of some folks you've worked with and kind of the results that they've gotten.
Absolutely. Well, when I work with people one-on-one, so I do coaching one-on-one and I do group coaching, so we see all kinds of results, and they all journal for 10 weeks.
Okay.
And it's a fascinating experience because they come in with a certain set of expectations, and they're always, always blown away as a result. So here's one example. I had one gentleman who came in to coaching, and he was a manager, or actually he was a broker of a real estate office, and was quite a good earner, but was always, always chronically in debt. So he came to me $48,000 in debt, and after 10 weeks left in a positive cash flow state of plus $46,000. And what do? We looked at his perspectives on whether or not he deserved to be a wealthy person.
Oh.
Right? We looked at his thinking. And what we discovered was that because he had only a high school education, he didn't think he was smart enough to be wealthy.
Okay.
Well, that really slowed him down. I'll give you another example.
Sure.
I had another client who lived in California. She was a very successful real estate agent, and her lifelong dream was to move to Hawaii. Well, she did that and continued her career, but after 2 years, didn't sell a thing. And that's when she came to me. She said, I'm stuck. And she said, I've started my career all over again. I don't know anybody, you know, I'm not very well networked, and I don't know the product very well, and my career isn't going where it was going before I left, and what am I going to do? And what I showed her is that, in fact, she's not starting over. She's just continuing her previous career, and she's very well-equipped, she's very experienced, and she knows exactly what she's doing. And within 6 weeks, she got a listing, and on the seventh week, she made a sale, and on the eighth week, another one, and on the ninth week, another one, and I'll tell you something, just last week, she made a $10 million sale.
Wow.
So, you know, from a financial perspective, we get great results. But from an emotional perspective, we also get great results. I'll give you another example. I had this one woman that I was working with who had a horrible divorce. And for 3.5 years, she slept with her lights on.
Oh, wow.
Right? So for you and me, we're thinking, well, that's a small deal, but within 4 weeks, she shut the lights. For her, it was huge.
Oh, I can imagine.
Right. And we have people whose relationships improve. We have people who have peace with some of the things that happened in their past. We have people who absolutely change their level of confidence and are able to deal with conflict and kind of things that caused tension for them in the past with much greater ease. People find their voice. They're comfortable speaking on their own behalf suddenly. They're comfortable in situations where before this, you know, they would have had a stomach ache and headaches and all kinds of fears associated with it before. So they come into their lives a whole lot differently.
Okay. And it's all regarding that frame of mind.
Absolutely. And I have one guy who his blood pressure went down.
I was going to say, I can imagine with, you know, with like public speaking that we were talking about earlier, I think they say that that is one of the most significant phobias that adults have, is having to speak in public. And our blood pressure's up, we sweat, we just get nervous and shaky.
Right. This afternoon, I worked with a gentleman who had a phobia of cold calling.
Oh, okay.
Right, making a phone call to someone he didn't know. So we worked through that as well.
Yeah. Well, and I know in my business, in consulting, if you can't do that, that can just be paralyzing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because I meet people that I've never met before all the time, and you meet them, and the next thing you know, you're engaged and trying to help them succeed at their business.
Sure.
And, not being able to cold call or to interact with someone that is a stranger, that can be really paralyzing in today's world.
Sure, and especially apply that to dating. right?
Oh, sure.
If a person is scared to approach someone, you know, that could really hinder a person's ability to have a really meaningful relationship in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So this affects all areas of life, not just professional areas.
Right. It's just as relevant in personal areas.
Absolutely, even more so.
Yeah. Kim, before we go, I did want to talk about a couple of things that you have going, because since we last talked, you have a new book that's out called
That's right.
What You Focus On Grows. And I'm one of those lucky ones. I'm already reading your book.
Yeah, what do you think?
I love your book.
Really?
I do, because they're personal. I love the stories because they're personal. And it's personal, so it's a life story, or it's something that we relate to easily. And so I say it's personal, but for instance, Bugs Bunny's DNA is
right.
Something that I think is kind of personal to all of us, because I think we all have grown up with Bugs Bunny.
Right.
But then you relate it just so well back to Frame of Mind Coaching and the important lessons that really come out of these life stories.
Well, the interesting thing about that book, from my perspective, is they're stories about things that happen in everyday life.
Yeah.
And most of them are rather normal, but I try to look at them in not so normal a way. So I look at them in an extraordinary way. So
mm-hmm.
things, interactions that will happen on the street, in a restaurant, with my kids, I just look at them as magical moments.
Yeah.
And that's how they get described in the book. And I can assure you that all of us have magical moments all the time, but we're just not practiced at noticing them. And the book is really meant to help you start to notice your own magical moments in your own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also, I've noticed in several spots you talk about journaling
yes.
in the book, too, as a way to help recognize those magical moments.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, there's no more powerful tool to help you get from where you are to where you want to be than journaling.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention to our listeners, and I'm going to do some research to see if I can't find a link online, but you are now on the Rockin' Radio Show out of Buffalo, New York.
It's Rockin' It Radio.
Rockin' It Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the host is J. Michael.
Right.
And you are now a special guest on Rockin' It Radio.
I am. I am their business and relationships expert on a weekly basis. We are heard every Sunday night.
Excellent. So, and I'm going to look to see if I can't find an online link, because I know some radio stations do have their shows that they put online. And in fact, you were just interviewed by Mark Perlman on his radio show. And that's online, and I've listened to that too. And that's an outstanding show. And the last thing I thought I'd mention, because it's well, kind of new, is your updated website. And I was hoping you might tell folks a bit about your website and what's on the website.
Well, our website is called, first of all, it's www.fom52.com, and it's mm-hmm. FOM for Frame of Mind, 52.com. And what we have on there is 52 weeks of guided journaling. So you go on there, and the cost is really affordable. It's $14.95 a month. And you can cancel whenever you want, or it's $120 for the whole year. So it's really, really, really worth trying for at least a month. Just go up there and try it. And there's a social networking facility that allows you to communicate with other journalers. You can keep your journal private, or you can share it. It's up to you. You get to decide, but you get very specific audio and written assignments on what to journal, and it takes you through the whole process. It's a fabulous experience. And if you're really, truly interested in making changes in your life, it's the best and most affordable way to start. So I recommend you go there.
Yes. And it is a wonderful website. I would recommend that our folks go there too. You also have a free assessment.
We do.
That's your Frame of Mind. I know I have taken the free assessment.
Have you?
I have. I have, and I have learned interesting things from my pre-assessment. And
well,
so
the
I would
interesting encourage... thing about the assessment is it's not the kind of assessment where you get a whole long report, but it's an assessment where you are asked specific questions, and the questions themselves trigger you to give thought to the way things are in your life today. It's an interesting process because all I have to do is ask you a question, and that question will trigger you and launch you into a series of thoughts. And that's really what we want to do with people, is have them seriously take a look at, where am I today, and is this exactly where I want to be?
Yes, and it was really kind of a something that got me to be thinking about what's really important. You know, you talked earlier about having that defined ideal state or ideal future. And, I don't know that I had ever really thought of my ideal world before. And the questions kind of got me thinking about things. And, you know, are the relationships I'm in where I want them to be? Is work going the way I want it to go? Or do I want to be someplace else?
Right.
So I really found the assessment to be very enlightening and very thought-provoking. So, I would encourage all our listeners to...
And it's a great launching pad to go from that assessment to start working through the answers in the journaling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. So you start thinking about them, and then you want to work them out. You want to say, okay, so are my relationships exactly where I want them to be? And if I feel or I sense that they're not, what I want to do is focus on how I want my relationships to be and what I want them to look like, and to design and define them and see them, imagine them in my ideal way.
Yes, yes. Well, Kim, I want to thank you again for being with us for
a
second.
You are so welcome. Show. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you. And I'm hoping that we can get you back again here sometime in the near future.
Would love to.
Great, great.
Thanks so much, Nathan.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. I would like to personally thank Kim Addis for being with us today and sharing her insights on improving personal performance through journaling. We'll look forward to learning more from Kim in upcoming episodes of the Strategy Driven Podcast. Additionally, you can find more information about Kim and Frame of Mind Coaching on her website at www.fom52.com. Until next time, so long.